Thank you, Pastor Tom, for leading us in communion today and for just the encouragement through the prayer time. Something that struck me as you were praying, you said, you know, God has purposed in his sovereign hand to work through the prayers of his people. It's absolutely true. And as we look at our message today, we're going to talk about relationships. You know, God has in his sovereign hand purposed for you to impact the relationships that you are in by his grace in your life. He sovereignly purposed it that way. That your relationship would matter, that you would shine the light of Christ, that you'd be a testimony of Christ, all of those kind of things. We're going to dig into that today. So open your Bibles with me to Colossians 3, 18 and verse 18 and following for our final message in this topic that we've been looking at in living the Christian life. Also, grab your outline. Let me get my Bible open to there, but go ahead and grab your outline, help you follow along. It's been a good study, hasn't it? Boy, you guys are excited today. Been a good study. It has been a really good study. I've been surely blessed and encouraged by it. I'm sure you have also. The Christian life that we have been given by God in our salvation is to be lived. We've looked at that a lot of different ways. It's to be lived out, and we're to be living it. It's not lived in a vacuum, though. It's not just a personal thing with the Lord. It's a thing that's with everyone. It's to be lived in full view of people in relationships. That's what the point of it all is. We're to lay aside the old self, put on the new self. We are to put sin to death. We are to clothe ourselves in the character qualities of Christ, what we've been looking at, that God is bringing out in our new life. And it's all relational. It's about relationships. I want you to think with me for a moment. Now, this might just be stating the obvious, but I want you to think with me for a moment as I read a couple of things. In your salvation, your relationship with God has changed, hasn't it? Lost to saved, it's changed. You become reconciled to God. In your relationship with sin, that's changed. You're no longer a slave to it. But you are to choose to and learn and obey, laying aside sin in your relationship with righteousness, holiness. That's changed. Now you're to wear, to clothe yourself with the characters of Christ. You are to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. You are to let the word of Christ reside in you richly. You are now to seek to do whatever you do in word and deed, all in representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. All that's relational, isn't it? It's all about how this interacts with people, and that's been the underlying thing. I haven't really brought it up because I wanted to bring it up here because he really starts to get into some certain kinds of relationships. But it's really an underlying thing of everything that he's been talking about. Living the Christian life is about a relationship with God and a relationship with others. It's an obvious truth, but Christianity is just not personal. It's relational. The life of the new man that I am, the new self that I am, is lived among people, saved or not saved. And listen to this, God has purposed it, this new life that he's given me, to impact others, believers in encouraging them, called sanctification, for them to grow and mature in their relationship with the Lord. That might be admonishment, it might be correction, it might be teaching, it might be all different kind of things. But God has given me a new life in Christ to impact other believers so their sanctification process goes. And all of us, he did it to all of us believers, that's what he did. But he has purpose also in our life, in our salvation, for us to be a light to unbelievers. That's incredible if you think about it. That's what your life changed from. Living for what the world lives for, living for self, living for... So now that we live with a purpose of God, that we've been purposed, he purposed it by the sovereign hand of God, that your life was going to impact others. That's amazing if you think about it. In our final section here of our scripture today, Colossians 3, 18 through 4, 6, the Apostle Paul briefly teaches us about living the Christian life in the home, in the workplace, in our witness to the world. That's what he briefly teaches. It's just kind of, I put it this way, here's a word on this and a word on that, because it's just kind of a statement kind of stuff. But he's talking about that, he's emphasizing that living the Christian life is relational or about our relationships. And I want us to capture that. And you know, sometimes when I preach and I'm in a subject and I've been going through it all week, let's own up to it. I happen to repeat myself quite a bit. But something has captured my heart as I went through this week, as I've studied God's word and what he's been emphasizing in my life. And what I want us to capture to here today is just see your life. If you were to write down all of them right now, if you wrote down every one of them, of all the relationships that you have in life, okay, you have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a relationship with the Spirit of God dwelling in you. You have a relationship with God's word, his truth, the church family. You have a relationship with all those people in there. You have a relationship with if you have a spouse or children or friends or family, you start thinking about it. Now, God has purposed that to have a big impact, to have a meaning in this life. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. I want you to capture that. The first relationship the Apostle Paul speaks are in the home, living the Christian life in the home. Look at them with me, verse 18 through 21. He says it real simply. He says this, "Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so they will not lose heart." No doubt that in our resurrected life, it's to affect our homes. Wouldn't you say that? No doubt. The new life that we have in Christ is supposed to affect our marriages, aren't they? Our parenting, our children. It's to have an impact right there. Right there in our home, first and foremost, you might say. If there is one Christian in your home, one person that has a resurrected life, doesn't matter if it's mom, dad, even a child. If there's one there, God has purposed in his divine work that their relationship with the others in their home impact them for Christ. That's just true. First, the Apostle Paul has a simple word to the husbands and wives. Look at it again, verse 18 and 19. He says this, "Wives, be subject to your husbands as it's fitting to the Lord. Husband, love your wives and do not be embittered against them." Pretty simple. It's very basic, isn't it? In Ephesians 5:21, the Apostle Paul tells the church, he tells the church this, and Ephesians 5:21 is really sets up what all the Apostle Paul teaches in Ephesians 5:22-33. And Ephesians 5:22-33 is an expanded view of these two verses. And so he helps us with the context. He says this, "Church, family of God, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Be subject to one another in reverence of Christ." See, so our lives together as a church family, we're to be subject to one another. We're to be in submission to one another in the fear of Christ. If you're the usher and you're ushering us, here we are, that's your responsibility. God's called you to serve in your gifts that he's called you to serve in the body of Christ. The rest of us are to be submitting to their role, what they're doing, in loving submission of them doing it. That's why the sign back there says, if you're not an usher, leave the air conditioners alone, please. We're to be in submission to that. That's something Pastor Ken had to learn. Okay, because Pastor Ken, go back there, push buttons, all that kind of stuff, right? So it's like, you know, so it's that. But see, the body of Christ, see, we're to be in submission to one another. It's the life of the family of God. It's what we're doing. You're to be submission to those that are maybe teaching a class or leading or the nursery or those kind of things. We're all in just submitting to God's order and how he structured the family of God to work for us to stay in unity and stay in peace and all those kind of things. See, that's the context of what the Apostle Paul is saying here. The life of the church family is to be a loving relationship where we are in submission to each other, submitting to God's way, God's order for us in reverence to our Lord. We're to be supporting each other in a role in the church family. That's the context when he goes to husband and wives. That's what he's talking about. A wife in her relationship with her husband is to support by submission her husband in living out the role of leadership of the home. That's what it's talking about. Wives, be subject to your husband is fitting to the Lord. It's fitting to the Lord. It's God's design the way God is doing it. Whether he's following through or not, this is an important aspect of it. This is what God has called in the basic relationship of husband and wives. Now, in a message like this, I can't speak to every dynamic of marriage, how that all might be going on. But listen to this. But as a woman of God follows her Lord and lives the calling of her life in a marriage relationship, whatever that relationship might be in the moment, when she lives out her calling, she displays the grace of salvation to others in her home and to others that are watching. Is that not true? Is that not true? It certainly is, right? So sometimes in all of the struggle of that, you know, God has asked you to follow through what God has given you, and that if you, in a loving submission way, in a loving way, follow your Lord and carry out your role, your calling in your life from a marriage, whatever it might be, you're going to display the grace of salvation to others in your home and to others that are watching. Because God has purposed for it to be so out of your relationship with him. Capture that. Because God has purposed for that to be so. You display the grace of God. You display the glory of God. You display the goodness of God. You display Christ in your home, to your children, to anybody else that's watching, because God has purposed it so out of your relationship with Him. That's powerful, isn't it? That really helps us with the focus of what God is doing, of what God is wanting. That's just one person that we've discovered. Here's a word to the husbands. Look at verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Men, that's the basis of your role in marriage and you leading. Love your wife. It is establish a loving relationship by your actions. That's your role in leading to begin with. It's like this. Don't call her honey and act like vinegar. That's not what we're supposed to do. You're to lead in establishing a loving relationship in your home. No place for harshness, anger, resentment for your wife. Now, we have it, men, right? Are you with me? Oh, you guys aren't with me. I got nobody. Okay, I'm the only one dealing when I'm harsh, okay, that kind of thing. But no, I mean, it's not like we're perfect here, but God is at work in our life, and we can see no place for embitterment, no place for harshness. I'm supposed to be establishing as I lead my home. This is my role. It's not pertained about whether she's getting her role done. I'm supposed to encourage her in that because my leading is to wash her in the word and all those kind of things. But I want to first lead by establishing in my home, by actions, a love for my wife. I want to establish a loving relationship. That's what this is talking about. Let me give you guys a verse. You should put this on your vehicle, right on the dash. You should put it on the back of your phone, you know, the screensaver. That's what I was looking for. I did. I put it in my vehicle. Ecclesiastes 9:9. This is a good one, guys. Listen to it. Enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life, which God has given you under the sun, for this is your reward in life, in your toil in which you have labored under the sun. That's good, isn't it? Enjoy. Enjoy life with the one that you love. The woman that you love, and with all the days of your life and this fleeting life that God has given you, that's your reward in the life, in your toil, which you labor in the sun. Man, I don't want to miss what the reward is. I really don't. But you see, this is what he's talking about. You see the relational aspect of this. God has purposed this, guys, that if you'll love your wife, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ will shine to your family and to those watching your life. Now, again, none of us are perfect in that, but if we'll live that and work on that, now get this, according to Ephesians 5:22 through 33, when a husband loves his wife the way God desires and leads his home as God has designed, and when the wife lives out her loving submission to her husband, not perfectly, but when that's what's going on, this is what the Word of God says. You display in your relationship for others to see the Lord's relationship with his church. And get it again, God has purposed it so. He has purposed that a marriage, that your marriage, that your relationship in all of that, he has purposed for you in your role and you living it out to display the grace and light of Christ, in your wife to do that, display the life and grace of Christ. But in your marriage relationship together, he has purposed it in the world, in his creation, in all of this, for it to be reflective of Christ's relationship with us. That's incredible. I think he has a little forethought in all of this, don't you? This is amazing. This is what God has designed it. It is to shine the light of Christ to all in your home, to all watching your marriage. And the ones seeing it most will be your children. Next, a word to the children. I'm just going to move along here because we got a lot to cover today. But next, a word to your children. Verse 20, look at it with me. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Now, I'm going to keep it simple, the Apostle Paul does, but children, I want you to hear me, okay? The children here, I want you guys to hear me. I want you to listen. Out of your relationship to the Lord and seeking to please God, obey mom and dad. Obey mom and dad. In your relationship to please the Lord, honor your mother and father all the days of your life that pleases God. Here's what the struggle will be. You're going to want to please yourself. That's going to be the fight. That's going to be the battle. That's what it's going to be. Well, I thought earth, I thought life, I thought it was about pleasing me. It's about pleasing God. And again, pleasing God isn't about you getting pleased. It's about you doing what God wants you to do. And the struggle is going to be, I want to please myself. Listen, your mom and dad, listen to me, children, kids. Listen, your mom and dad, out of their relationship with God and their relationship with each other, want you to see that obedience to the authority that God has placed, ultimately God in your life, is where the blessings of life come from. Let me say that again. Look at me, kids. That's what God wants you to hear today. That your mom and dad and their relationship with God and their relationship to each other, what they want you to see is that in obedience to God and obedience to the authority God has placed in your life, ultimately God, is where the blessings of life flow, not in pleasing yourself. That's what they want you to see. They want you to capture that. You know how you first get an understanding of that? In your relationship with the Lord right now, obey mom and dad. Let God show you, let God teach you, let God reveal to you, let God be God, and he will put it in your heart. That is where the blessings of life flow, in your following God. Such an important aspect of what of our relationships are. And so they matter. You can see how they matter. And again, I'm going to say it many times. This isn't about perfection. This is about grace and mercy and the love of God and what God is doing. And he's purposed this. So in our struggles, he'll still work. It's about our willingness. Final word about in the home, a word to the parents. Look at verse 21. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so they will not lose heart. Now, a better translation of there is parents. The original text and all that kind of stuff, it gets emphasized that way because dad is to be the leader and he's the one to not to allow it and all that. But it's mom and dad. Do not exasperate your children so they will not lose heart. I could ask every parent in the room and myself, we don't want to contribute to our child losing heart, do we? There's nobody in here that wants to contribute to that. We don't want our kids to lose heart. That means to lose courage or be without courage or spirit, carries the sense of being listless, discouraged, despairing. We don't want to do that. Too many ways to discuss at this time how we not to exasperate them and go through this whole teaching. That's a whole message in itself. Hey, you exasperate them this way, don't do that and this. But let me just give you a list and just so you kind of get the idea how big that could be. You exasperate them by failure to discipline or depreciating their value or playing favorites or showing no affection or not providing for their needs or giving them everything they want or overprotecting, underprotecting, being critical or always criticizing or neglecting. You'll exasperate them and all that, but let me give you a half a verse. All right, you guys, listen to me. Let me give you just a half a verse that if you'll always do this, it will guide you out of exasperating them. It's Ephesians 6:4. It's just the second half of the verse. But this verse, if you'll just do this in your family as parents, if you'll just do this, this is what you do. It'll lead you right out of exasperating your kids. It'll help you get out of there. Ephesians 6:4 says it this way. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Do that. Be doing that. Do that. Focus on that. Try to live that. Just bringing your children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Listen, this is what it is. Encourage them in God's grace, forgiveness, love, and hope. Encourage them in the mercy of God. Show them grace. Show them forgiveness. Show them love. Show them hope. Show them mercy. All those kind of, encourage them in God's grace and mercy in your guys' life and life in the home. Instruct them in God's way and the truth of his word. That's what that is talking about. Instruct them. God says this. This is what God did. Do that and correct them. Correct them by teaching repentance and change and consequences of sin. Teach them repentance. Hey, this is what repentance is. This is coming, and when we repent, we come with the right heart saying, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to change. I want to go this way. That's what repentance is. Teach them that that's not just something you say. It's something that you actually want in your life. Teaching repentance. Teach them consequences of sin. Hey, it's consequences of sin. I told you to quit hitting your sister and knock that off. Now you got to get a spanking or whatever you have in that. But those are consequences of sin. Let me ask you, love them like God loved you. That's what you're to do as a parent. Didn't God love you that way? Doesn't God encourage you in hope and grace and mercy and love and forgiveness? Doesn't God encourage you in those kinds of things in your life? Doesn't he show you grace when you fail? Doesn't he show you forgiveness when you struggle? Doesn't he show you hope and love and all those kind of things? But God corrects you too, right? God corrects you. He leads you to repentance by the kindness of the Lord. He leads you to turn and go a different way. He leads you to change. He shows you that you reap what you sow. The consequences of sin are there. They happen in your life. What do you think if you had that attitude and you're speaking to your spouse and now, you know, dinner's burnt or, you know, you got waffles that, you know, weren't cooked or, I mean, I'm just being silly, but, right? But doesn't God instruct you and teach you in the Word of God? See, God loves you as his child. God has asked you, will you love your children as I loved you? Now, what they do with it is what they do with it, their relationship with the Lord. But see, if you're living that, boy, you really kind of move out of exasperating them. You just do. Such a powerful thing. You see the what I want you to capture is that we can really see in the home how this is such a relational aspect with God and with each other that we don't think of it as that relational in our workplace and in our witness to the world. It's the same thing. That's what I want us to see today as we look at the next two. We know it in our home. We know this. We see this. Boy, this has a really effect. Come on, dads. How many of your kids act just like you and something that you don't want them to act just like you? I got about four dads that are... I think of the young families here with the young kids, or they're just going to... I got some kids pointing at parents right now. But you guys just going to have kids. This is just going to be so important to you. You want them to love Christ. You want them to know the Lord. You want them to serve the Lord. You want them to know the love of Christ. You want them to be a light of the... And all of those kind of things. And you don't want to do anything wrong in inhibiting and all of that. But I'm not trying to preach on being a perfect parent. God says and teaches us in our word, have a really strong relationship with the Lord, and then live really a strong relationship with the people in your life and let God work that out. Don't take it now, if I don't live perfectly here, that's why these people that see me and know me have all of these struggles. It's not really that. It's God showing you that out of a relationship with Him, He has purposed your relationship with them to impact. Let's just embrace that. But it's the same thing in your workplace, and it is as a witness in this world. He's purposed the same thing. And that's what He's going to go to at work. You know, at your job, God has purposed for your relationship with God and your relationship with the people that you work with for you to have an impact. He's purposed that to be so. And He's purposed us in this world that out of our relationship with Him, that the relationships that we have in our life, He has purposed this by His sovereign hand that we would impact people. That God would use you to speak to somebody else about Christ or be a testimony of Christ as much as He has for in our home. Now, we live with our families at home 24/7. It's more of a depth relationship, I get it. But this is what we want to capture. Living the Christian life in the home is very relational. Now we're going to look at living Christian life in the workplace. Look at it, verses 22 through 4:1. He says this, "Slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fear the Lord. Whatever you do in your work, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive a reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve, for he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and with that without partiality. Masters, grant your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven." Now, there's a whole nother message. So I'm just going to highlight some things. I can't get into in detail, but it's the same deal, right? God has purposed that your life at work, whether you're an employee or an employer, is to have an impact. And back then, this is the context now is for employee-employer. That's how this reads to us now. Back then, when he was writing that, slaves, masters, that's, you know, I can't remember exactly how many percentage, but it's over 50% of the people. This is kind of how work was. This is how they stayed employed. So listen to this. Let me just read it that way. Employees, in all things, obey those who are your employers on earth, not with external services as those who merely please men, but with a sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do in your work, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. And in chapter 4, verse 1, employers, grant to your employees justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master and an authority over you in heaven, God the Father. You see, that's how it flows. God has purposed in all of this, whatever role you play, the way you live it out is to bring light to the saving grace of God. That's not hard to understand, is it? That he's doing the same thing at work? that he's doing the same thing with the people that you work with and that you interact. See, God isn't like, okay, in the home, God's doing this work, and in the church, he's doing this work, and then out there is just kind of life that we kind of... God is at work in all of it. Our lives have been surrendered to him. Our lives are his, and he has purposed where you work. He wants you there. He desires you there. He loves you there. He wants you to live in relationship with him in a certain way there, to represent him. It's easy to understand, hard to live, right? But that's what he's talking about here. And that's what we want to capture. You serve the Lord from the heart. In your relationships to your boss, you honor a relationship with the Lord. If it's a relationship that you're the boss to your worker, you honor the Lord. You're trying to do in word and deed all to reflect the character and name of Christ. It's not easy, but it wasn't supposed to be easy, because the only ones that can do it are living a Christ-centered, Christ-empowered lives in relationship with him that can do this. But it's not easy for me to love my wife like Christ loved the church, because the only one that can is the one that has a Christ-centered, Christ-focused life, a relationship with him. I cannot love my wife like God wants me to love her without a strong relationship with my Lord. I can't be a testimony at work to my employees or an employer without this going on. You see the relational aspect that I'm wanting us to just recognize here? If you're struggling in any of these areas and having a hard time in some of these areas, or these kind of things, God, the Holy Spirit's bringing conviction, these kind of things, here's where you go. And he works in your life, God, because he's purposed out of your life for you to be impact those that are in your life. That's how that goes. You don't do this on your own. Remember the front of the bulletin? Those who follow me will not walk in darkness. If you don't follow Christ, you think you're in light? No, we're not. We have to follow Christ, and then we have the light of life. And see, so we're... The Apostle Paul is saying here, living the Christian life is very relational. God has purposed it so. To display the glory of God, whether they do or don't at work. God will give recognition at the end of all of this to that, to how you lived out your relationships for and to the name of Christ, guaranteed. All of them. Again, a lot that I could say there, but I need to move on here a little bit. So living the Christian life is relational in the home, it's relational at the workplace, and it's relational in our witness to the world. That's what he's talking about next. Look at it with me, Colossians 4, 2 through 6. Now see, you have to capture the context here and what he's saying. You see, he's talking about relationships in the home, he's talking about relationships at work, he's talking about us being a light for Christ, he's telling us to be a testimony of the relationship. Now he's going to move right to the to our witness to the world. That's what the context of all this is. Listen to what he says. Devote yourself to prayer. Keep alert in it with the attitude of thanksgiving, praying it all at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. And let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Again, I said it earlier, but ultimately, how we live out our salvation falls into two categories. It's to encourage sanctification, the body of Christ, by the way we live, or to proclaim or illuminate salvation that's found in Christ alone. That idea came from the words of Jesus. It falls in all of this in Matthew 5, 13 through 14. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So in your salvation, in your reconciliation with God, what God did in your new life, he made you salt of the earth. You're to influence the earth. And he made you light of the world. Now, I'm not the light. The light dwells in me as I follow the Lord. But that's what he made us. That's who we are, and we follow out, we live who we are in Christ by being salt and being light. The focus of 2 through 6 is us being light. That's the focus. Devote yourself to prayer. keeping alert, is to be praying and seeking and asking God and watching for when God is going to work in the relationships of your life, that he wants you to speak a word. That's the context of what he's talking about. Again, relational aspect with God. Are you praying? Are you watching? Let's just look at this and unfold this text as what he's talking about here. The context is us being light to the lost world. If you're going to live the Christian life, in your witness to the world, you are going to have to watch and pray. You're going to have to walk in wisdom. You're going to have to speak with grace. Look at verse 2 through 4. This is watch and pray. Let me read it again. Devote yourself to prayer. Keep alert in it with the attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Let me paraphrase for you what that's saying in original language. It says this: talk to God all the time about being a witness. Keep alert in it. Watch what God is doing and have the attitude of thanksgiving, for he is at work and he's using you to bring gospel light. That's what that's encouraging us in. Verse 3 and 4 says, pray at the same time for us as well, meaning that you're praying the same for yourself as you're praying for others, or what the Apostle Paul asked to be prayed for. And this is what we're praying for ourselves and others, that God will open up to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the gospel of Christ, that we would be clear in the way we present the truth of Jesus to the open heart to the gospel that God has opened. Devote yourself to that. Devote yourself to praying for that, for your family, your friends, your coworkers, the people God has in your life as a relationship. Because again, just listen, God has purposed in his divine hand, in his sovereign hand, you to live out your faith among others, and for you to pray and with seeking God and watching for the open door where he's going to let you share his truth, his word, his grace, his hope, his love, his correction, whatever it is, to pierce the heart for the truth of the gospel. God has purposed it that way. Fathers, pray for your kids. Heavenly Father, I come before you and I just pray, Lord, for you to pierce their heart with the truth, for you to give them recognition to who Jesus is, those kind of things, Lord. And I'm asking on my behalf, Lord, if there's anything that I can do, if there's a place that you want me to speak, if there's something that I can say, if I can listen well, Lord, if I can hear where they're at, and then you prompt up something I've learned in the Word of God to share with them at the moment that you're going to speak to their little heart for Jesus, make me ready. But pray that for your spouse, and pray that for your uncle and your aunt, and pray for that for all of those people that God interacts with you at work, and pray for that for those that, in all of the events that we do as people, and we interact with all these people, are we listening? Are we paying attention? Are we praying? Are we watching? And then you are at an event, and this, and there's a mom that you have a strong relationship with, you ladies know each other, and then she shares something about something that God has placed in your heart to lay forth the word of truth to her life, because God has purposed it so. He hasn't just purposed our time together, our Wednesday night, our homes. He's purposed us living in this world. And we have to watch and pray, don't we? We have to pray and ask for those kind of things. Again, conviction. Again, Lord, I don't often do that. Lord, change me, grow me. But that's what the Apostle Paul is teaching. Do you recall what Jesus told the disciples when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26, 40, 41? Remember what he told them? I'm going to go over there and pray. Can you guys hear? Can you guys sit right here and watch and pray with me? You guys, anybody remember what happened? He went away for an hour, came back. What happened? Doesn't that ever stun you? Here you are with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? So this is the end. I mean, I've been hanging around with the guy for 2.5 years. I've seen him walk on water. I've seen him do all these kind of things, right? And I know he's Lord and Savior. In fact, I already have this life that I have in him, right? And he says, I'm going to go over here and pray to the Father. Can you sit and watch and pray? An hour. that ever just capture you? Did it ever just capture you? Like, wow, how could you fall asleep? Right? I could. How about you? End of a long day, man laying down, they probably a cool breeze coming across the mountain there and that kind of stuff, and they just probably ate a bunch of fish. I mean, yeah. But hear what Jesus said. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Your new life in Christ, your resurrected life, is willing to consider others and pray to God for an open door and then speak, to share the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the flesh is constantly tempted to say, I'm not in. But your new life in Christ is willing. It's there. It's in you. It's been purposed in you. It becomes your relational choice with God on what you're going to let drive your life. It's what it is. I know we're capturing the relational aspect of this. Why does God have you where you are? The people in your life to bug you? Man, they bug us, don't they? To overwhelm us with the fallenness of humanity? To entertain us? No. You are to ask him to open a heart and show you a time for you to speak. God has purposed it. Look at 5:4, or look at the chapter, or verse 5 of chapter 4. Got to finish up here. This is what he says next. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. That's pretty straight up. Walk in wisdom with outsiders, toward the lost, toward those without Christ, toward those with no hope, toward those with no peace, that kind of thing. You are to live wisely among the unsaved people. It matters how you live in that environment. God says it's an opportunity. Make the most of it. Think of that with me. God says wherever you're at in this world and you're interacting with people that don't know Christ, God says it's an opportunity. Walk in wisdom with those that are outside the gospel. That's what he's talking about. Ephesians 5 through 17 would say it this way. Be careful how you walk, so you'll walk wise. Make the most of your time. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Let me help you. In context, this is the will of the Lord. And you living the Christian life is to witness to the world. That's the will of the Lord. God purposed it so. That's what he has purposed this life to be so. So in our witness to the world, we watch and pray. We ask God for an open door to speak. We walk in wisdom to those outside and listen to what he says last. We speak with grace. That's the context here. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. This really affected just me. I'm kind of getting emotional here and just thinking about life and how many people told me the gospel and how many people cared about me in this way. But God has purposed me, I'm just going to put it to me, to speak to the lost world grace, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the unmerited favor of God shown towards sinners to save them. And my words are to be with grace, showing unearned favor toward sinners in need of salvation. How do I talk to lost people? Is it seasoned with salt? Is it about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, I know you tell some people about the grace and you speak with grace, not attacking or not putting down or all that, and they're still not going to like you. I know that. But my relationship with the Lord has encouraged me and strengthened me and guided me that my relationship with others that need Christ, that he has purposed for me to be a representative of his grace, and it comes through in the way I speak. It's like Peter said in 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that's in you, yet with great gentleness and reverence, that's grace. What struck me most, well, first, they have to see that I have hope. And if I'm not living in a certain way with people in my life and not being transparent and living Christ in the midst, how do they see any hope? They see hope because of the relationships that I have. Then you have to be ready. I need to be ready with my relationship with Christ to give an account, to speak grace. So living the Christian life is relational, isn't it? Before I close, I got one little side note I want to give you, because this was what the Lord really gave me as I worked through this and as I was going through this and looking at the things of my life and just wanting to represent Christ more in my life and wanting Him to change some of the things in my life. He had me write this one thought before we close. All of us struggle with living this way, don't we? Don't leave me hanging. We do. We don't advocate it. We don't just throw it off. Oh, we all struggled, so it doesn't matter. We're all just, that's not what I'm saying. But we all struggle in some way of putting away sin or wearing the character traits of a Christian or living the way God desires in our home, in our marriage, as parents, or living the Christian life in the workplace or in our witness to the lost world. We fall short. Who saved us? Because we fell short. We have a Savior for our salvation, but we have a Savior for our life as we live our life today. Amen. We have a rescue and a deliverer. And God, and you know what? None of us are there. None of us are perfect, but God is in Christ, in our relationship with Him. He's saving me. How about you? Out of my relationship with Him, He keeps working in my life as a Savior. One day I won't live any of these things wrongly. But I want to remember that God has purposed you and me to be and do things in our salvation, in our relationship with Him, that He is at work at, that He is doing. And as His, I want to embrace that. How about you? Let's close. Father, we're grateful for Your word to us this morning and for just the life that we have as living a Christian. The life that we've been given in this resurrected life and all that we studied through here this summer and through Colossians 3 and then the beginning of 4. It's been rich, Lord, in blessing our lives and really bringing some truth to our hearts where we're at, because You love us too much to leave us alone. And You have designed it and desire us to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ in our life for Your glory, our good, yes. And You are patient and long-suffering in that work. You're kind and gentle, but You are our God, and this is where You are going. And love, Lord, just help us love others as You love us. Thank You for the mercy and grace today. Thank You for Your instruction today. Thank You for the ability to change and to repent. Thank You for the life You've given us in Christ. In Your Son's name we pray, amen. Have a great day, Labor Day tomorrow.